Friendly and affordable, located at 202 Park Street. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge. We are your hometown voice.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith. And this is Rogue Talk for March 27th, 2020. And I don't normally title the shows until I post them online, but today we're going to title the show right now, Everything is Stupid. Now you may be thinking, what are you talking about? We're having this health crisis of coronavirus or COVID-19, and we need to take this seriously. And I'm going to preface everything I'm going to say today, because some of it's going to be serious, some of it's going to be not so serious. I'm going to preface everything by saying we are all taking this very seriously, with a few rare exceptions, like a few kids on spring break, every other person between the ages of 60 and 80 who should be taking it seriously, and who I routinely see while I'm out doing my essential work, and I've got the big air quotes up. I'm not sure how I feel about being essential. It sounds good, but it's not all it's cracked up to be. And every other person I see out there is in the age group that probably should be staying home and be worried about this. But again, beyond those people and the guy that is supposedly some sort of YouTube blogger or influencer who was cover your ears if you're squeamish, licking toilet seats, and now he has the virus. I'm not sorry, bud. That was really stupid. And if he's an influencer, if you're influenced by him, if this is someone you follow or you watch on a regular basis, shame on you. I don't know what else to say. Everything right now is completely stupid. And again, we're going to talk about some of the dumb stuff and some of the more serious stuff. As I said 2 weeks ago, I haven't changed my mind. I still think in a lot of ways we're overreacting. That doesn't mean it's the wrong reaction, because we can adjust, as the president has suggested, as some of the experts have suggested. We can adjust as time goes on, but even the overreaction can be the wrong thing to do, meaning it cannot have the effect that you thought it could. And, you know, we don't know who to listen to, who to trust, but I'm going to try and keep it light. I'm not going to go into any of the numbers. The numbers is another thing that makes this all really stupid, because you're being lied to, in some cases on purpose, in some cases just because people think that they need to get these numbers out here, but they don't put enough context into them, and they really have just made things even more confusing and been more inaccurate. I would love to take calls today. I know a lot of people are stuck at home, so I hope they're tuning in that maybe don't always tune in. Maybe they're listening today. We're so happy to have you here. I'm going to try and keep it light, make it fun. We're going to talk about a few serious things, but we're also going to make fun of some of the just ridiculous stuff going around. The number here, if you would like to call in, is 541-299-0498. And write this down, because maybe you don't want to call right now, but believe me, I'm going to say something that's going to get you offended or fired up, or maybe you want to correct me or add to something that I'm saying. Write the number down, because I have this effect on people. I will get you excited in one way or another, and you may decide you want to call. So 541-299-0498. Now, I'm one of those people that I don't get too excited about things I can't control. I'm being affected by this more than I want to be. I've become more conscious of doing things, you know, wiping things down that, you know, that could be dirty, whatever. When I came in the studio today, we don't use this studio a ton, but I don't know who's been in here. So, yeah, I was wiping things down. I was wiping the doorknob. I was wiping, you know, the keypad to the alarm system and all of those things. I'm not that worried about it, but it makes my wife happy, and it gives her peace of mind when I get home and she says, "Now, you wiped everything down." She's my wife. She knows when I'm lying. So I just do those things, and it keeps her happy, but it gives me a little sense of you know, comfort that I'm doing what I can. As I mentioned, my work, in fact, the two things I love doing the most, my job as a landscaper and my radio work, have both been deemed essential. So I'm happy about that. I feel important. A lot of people with two or three college degrees aren't essential, but so I kind of like it, but I also don't like it. And we had a caller calling in. Let's see if he hung on the line or if I probably cut him off, but we'll see if we can go to the caller. Caller, are you there? Or welcome to Rogue Talk. Yeah, looks like I may not have it quite right. We'll try one more time. Are you there? Yeah, apparently I screwed that one up. So we'll get back to what I was talking about. We'll see if they've called back. So let's start with I'm going to make a prediction, and this is sort of related to the virus, but not really. I've got to say that I've made quite a few predictions in the past. I've gotten a few of them right. I probably get some wrong. The point of this is not to be right or wrong. I'm more than happy for someone to call in and go, "Well, you said this was going to happen and that didn't happen." It's fine with me. I'm not going to lose any money over this or any sleep over this. We're getting closer to the peak here in this country. And that's not, I mean, it's partially my opinion, but it's not just my opinion. It's what the experts are saying. Actually, it's kind of interesting that the president has said that he would like to start restarting the economy, and he's aiming for a date of Easter, which I would have to bring up the calendar. I believe is around the 12th of next month, I think. Let me see if I can bring up a calendar really quickly here. And of course, I turned off all of the holidays on mine. Yeah, Easter Sunday is the 12th. So a lot of people are upset about, you know, him aiming for that. But I actually think it's a good thing to do in aiming for a date, and then you can reassess. You can reassess before you get to the date. You can reassess when you get to the date. But interestingly enough, the date that he picked is right about the same time that a lot of experts think that is near where the peak of this will be. It could be a little farther out, but it's in that neighborhood. And so I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, but the prediction that I'm going to make is about, and I'm not picking what the exact time is. It's looking like it'll be right around Easter, but what I'm saying is when we kind of turn the corner, when the media and the experts have all decided, like we care what the media thinks, but they've all decided that we've peaked and we're on the other side, and that doesn't mean the whole thing's over, but it means it's gotten as bad as it's going to get, and it'll start to improve from there. After we reach the peak and the fear starts to subside, we're going to see something in the media that we haven't seen yet, which I find interesting. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about we're currently crushing our economy. I mean, completely destroying our economy. What was the jobs report yesterday? Was it 3 million? It was over 2 million. I don't remember the exact number. It's not important. It was a record first-time unemployment claims. It was something in the neighborhood of 3 million jobs that are people that are without work that were working the week previously. We're crushing our economy, and the longer we keep it shut down, the worse it's going to get. And I've been out doing my work because I'm essential. And I've already seen businesses shutting down. I was at a business in Medford yesterday. I'm not going to mention any names of any of the businesses. I don't have permission to do that, and I wouldn't. It's not about them specifically, although it really is about them. A business next door to one of my accounts, one of my clients. A week ago I was there, customers were coming and going, and the nature of this business, they don't have to go in the building. It's a business that can run with social distancing or whatever they're calling it, quite effectively. So they were running a week ago. Things looked fine. Maybe they're not essential, so they would have had to close down anyhow. But I was there this week. They were not only closed down, but the sign was in front of the building that the building is for sale. Now, I don't know if the business is closed. It really doesn't matter. Somebody is bailing out of that business, whether it's the building owner, the landowner, or it's the business owner, or maybe it's both. I don't know. I know of another business person that's a good friend of mine that's looking for extra work, because their business is so affected by this and they just want to keep above water until this all goes away. The other shoe hasn't dropped for me. I haven't seen a huge drop off in my business, but that doesn't mean it won't come. It didn't come right away in 2008, 2009 when the real estate market crashed and all of those problems that we had and the bailouts of industry by the government. It took some while to filter down, but I was affected by it. I lost some jobs because people could no longer afford it. Or, you know, I work for a lot of retired people. If they're living off of retirement savings or investments, ideally what most experts would like you to do is when you have enough money put away that you can live off of the interest that you're making. You're living off the dividends that you're making. You don't touch the capital. Well, what happens is people have to dip into the capital. Well, when they're dipping into their capital, it makes them nervous. And so, you know, they can go back to mowing their own yard, or they just let it go, or something in between. I had one that cut back. We don't do it as often. He knows he's paying more for the service on an hourly basis than he would if we were doing it every week, but he's still saving money in net dollars. And so it's probably coming. I'm grateful that it's not going to hit me. At least it doesn't seem to be hitting me as hard as it's hitting other people. So back to my prediction. I know I wander off into territory at times. My prediction is once we turn the corner, the stories of these businesses that are hurting really bad, and employees, and, you know, waitresses and wait staff, and I mean, you name it, even places that are able to stay open, they don't need all the employees they had. I drove by the Best Buy the other day, and they had cones set up so they could do curbside pickup in the parking lot, and there was probably a half a dozen employees out in the parking lot, and they're kicking a soccer ball around to keep themselves busy, because there's just not a lot for them to do. Now, I salute Best Buy, because clearly they're keeping those people employed. I don't know if they've laid off people. They probably have. But at least they're trying to keep as many people employed. And a bunch of businesses are doing this. I'm not singling them out. I just happen to drive by and see these guys in blue shirts playing soccer in the parking lot. And so when we turn the corner and we start to get business going again, then you're going to start seeing the stories of all of these poor, suffering people. And they are. I'm not making light of what's happening. I'm actually standing up for these people, because right now they're being ignored. They're talking about it on the news, but they're not. We're not getting those human interest stories of, oh, this poor pizza place that was just hanging on and now they've had to shut down and they've lost their livelihood. We're not hearing a lot of those stories that they like to do on the news, but you will be. You'll hear them, because when we turn the corner on coronavirus, they can no longer use it to attack the president and the administration and the CDC and whoever else they like to attack. They won't have as much ammunition for that attack. So then they'll turn on, well, look at how you wrecked the economy, and they'll be attacking him in that way. And if you don't believe me, if you were alive during Reagan's presidency, Reagan's tax cuts took a long time to kind of kick in, and the economy was in such bad shape when he took office. It took a while for those measures to kind of start to filter into the economy. But when they did, you couldn't turn on a television without a human interest story about the homeless. Guess what we're not hearing about enough? The homeless. You think the homeless aren't affected by this? So they're coming. Those stories are coming. You can count on it. And if I'm wrong, let me know in a couple of months. But it's coming. So I was talking a little bit about celebrities and some of that. Let's get into a little bit of that when I come back from the break.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Donald Trump has signed an unprecedented $2.2 trillion economic rescue package into law after swift and near unanimous action by Congress this week. The package will support businesses, rush resources to overburdened health care providers, and help struggling families during the deepening coronavirus epidemic. As he signed the bill Friday, Mr. Trump declared it, quote, will deliver urgently needed relief, unquote. He thanked members of both parties for putting Americans first. The House passed the legislation earlier Friday by voice vote. The legislation will speed government payments of $1,200 to most Americans and increase jobless benefits for millions of people thrown out of work. Businesses big and small will get loans, grants, and tax breaks. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 915 points. The Nasdaq dropped 295. The S&P lower by 89. More details at srnnews.com.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Another major auto racing event is being moved from its traditional date.
Memorial Day weekend isn't going to be the same for race fans, as the Indy 500 is the latest event to fall victim to COVID-19. The 104th running of the event will now be August 23rd. It will be the first time the 500 has been run outside of the month of May. The Indy Grand Prix is also moving from May 9th to July 4th, where it will be part of a doubleheader with NASCAR's Xfinity Series. NASCAR's Brickyard 400 is July 5th. It will be the first ever IndyCar NASCAR Cup Series weekend. I'm Brett McMillan.
In Major League Baseball, players have agreed to a deal with the league that would preserve service time in the event the season's canceled because of the virus. However, the two sides have left open details of what a configured schedule would actually look like. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to college sports, the NCAA will distribute $225 million to its Division I members in June. That is $375 million less than had been budgeted this year because of the virus outbreak that's forced the cancellation of the men's basketball tournament. The NCAA says $50 million will come from its reserve fund. A $270 million event cancellation insurance policy will outpay the rest. March Madness is amongst the biggest revenue producers for the conference and its schools. It was canceled March 19th, a week before the first round was scheduled to begin. The NCAA pulled in more than $1 billion in revenue last year, including $867.5 million from the TV and marketing rights for Division I men's basketball. Jimmy Wynn, the diminutive slugger whose monster shots in the 1960s and 70s earned him the popular nickname the Toy Cannon, has died at 78. He was 5 foot 9 inches tall, a big slugger in Major League Baseball. This is SRN Sports.
Imagine all the people
living for today. Yeah.
Imagine there's no countries, yeah.
It isn't hard to do.
Nothing to kill or die for.
All right, that's enough of that. I can't take any more of that. That's a video that I think was originally put out on either Twitter or Instagram. I'm not even sure. It doesn't really matter. First of all, it's horrible. Celebrities, you could tell which ones are actors because most of them can't sing. I might as well sing this song. But the reason I play that, the reason I point this out, was this was some sort of reaction to the coronavirus epidemic. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Have you read the... Well, first of all, Imagine by John Lennon is basically an... It's kind of an ode to the Communist Manifesto, for one thing. So I don't know what really it has to do with us coping with this pandemic. But the other thing is... If you're not familiar with the lyrics to this song, what we're doing to cope with the pandemic is pretty much with everything this song is the opposite of. And let's just look at the lyrics a little bit. So the song starts out, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Well, why would I want to do that? I'm supposed to be panicking about the coronavirus, which could kill me. I'm kind of hoping there is a heaven, because if I die at 50, I want there to be something on the other side. I'm hoping there's some place for me to go. And if I imagine there's no heaven, well, that kind of sucks. When you're facing death, imagining there's no heaven is kind of a stupid thing to do, you imbecile celebrities. Even if you don't believe in heaven, you might want to start if you think that death is imminent. So that one's kind of stupid. So then it goes on. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Well... you know what countries are made up of? Borders. You know what we're closing to keep sick people from other countries from coming in and spreading the virus in our country? Borders. Yes, countries have borders. And we close those borders when an enemy is attacking, like coronavirus. It's ridiculous. And so these celebrities are singing this stupid song that makes no sense whatsoever. And again, the song is kind of a you know, it's a shout out to the Communist Manifesto, which comes as no surprise that celebrities would pick this to sing. Just doesn't really fit the reason that they're singing it. But it kind of brings us to one of the more other ridiculous things going on right now. I think I heard that the House finally passed the so-called, I don't even know what to call it, bailout relief bill. You know, and of course the media comparing it to the stimulus package that was passed under the Obama administration. Of course, it's vastly different. Now, some of the spending is similar. I'll give them that. But this is a self-imposed collapse of our economy. And when I say self-imposed, I mean self-imposed by the government. Now, for good or for worse, I'm not, again, I prefaced this entire show, and I'll preface it again, and I'll probably do it two or three more times. I take this very seriously. I know this is a hard thing to deal with. But the... I'm having trouble putting some of this into words, and I apologize. This show is not written out on paper, so it's outlined, but I don't write the words down and then read them. There's no teleprompter here. The way. Well, let's. Let me get to something that I can, that's easier for me to stand. And I'm starting to sound like Joe Biden, and and I apologize, but I'm not running for president, so that's okay. I'm just a dumb radio host. So think about that a little bit. You know, as much as people want to make hay about things that Trump says, like, you know, we want to get the economy going again, and he's shooting for Easter. And of course, if you watch the entire news conference when he says something like that, you would completely understand the context of what he was saying, because there's other things that were said before that and other things that were said after that. But people just get their news from the New York Times or the Washington Post or, you know, Vox or Fox or any, you know, any of these sites. They almost all have an agenda of one sort or another. And so they like to take sound bites and they like to give you, paint a different picture than what really happened. So if you actually watch these news conferences that the president has been holding and you watch the whole thing, you understand the context. But it makes me think, let's compare the two candidates, the presumed Democrat candidate, Joe Biden, unless, you know, Bernie Sanders has some ace in the hole that he can pull out and, you know, kind of like if you've seen the Solo movie at the beginning, the Lando character is hiding cards in his sleeve and he wins a game and it comes back to haunt him later in the movie. I won't ruin the whole thing if you haven't seen it. But, you know, maybe Bernie Sanders has that card in his sleeve. I doubt it, but he might. So it looks like Biden's going to be the nominee. The guy can't do a 2-minute press conference without completely losing his train of thought. He forgets where he is. And I'm not making fun of him. I feel bad for him. In fact, I'm a little angry with his own family that they're allowing him to continue. The man clearly has some mental issues, and they manifest themselves at the very worst times for him. And so he can't do a 2-minute press conference without sounding like I did just a minute ago, where he just completely loses his train of thought. He did that with a teleprompter in front of him. He was reading off a teleprompter for one of these, and he still couldn't keep it straight. So, you know, I don't care how much you hate Donald Trump and how he annoys you and his tweeting is horrible, whatever you think of him. I got to say, I said a similar thing during the 2016 election. Who do you want in charge during this pandemic? You know, Trump may say some stupid stuff, but I like to judge people by their actions. And it's pretty clear to me who's got the better head on their shoulders. And again, I'm not, I've got plenty of mental illness in my family, including myself. I'm not making fun of anybody with an illness, but for goodness sakes, Biden, your family needs to pull you aside and get you some help. You shouldn't be running for president. That's just the way I see it. So I'm glad that Trump is the person running the country. I'm seldom happy with the way he talks, but I've been pretty happy with the actions he's taken. And so with all of that said, every day we've got to make adjustments. We've got to make, you know, assessments. We all do it in our own lives. You know, I got a little heated just last night because I'm seeing people watching the media and they're looking at the numbers that the media is putting out and they're reacting to that, but it's so misleading. Let's start with the infection rate. It seems that the worst thing about this virus, even though they want you to think it's the people that are dying, and I'm not minimizing the sadness of death and how bad it can be and how bad this epidemic could be. But the worst thing that is coming out of the numbers as they start to take shape more and more every day, it's the infection rate that is the most serious about this and not the mortality rate. And I know a couple of you are scratching your heads and you're going, you're crazy, Jeff, you're crazy. No, it's not, because the death rate is what it is. We don't control that. We can control it by keeping the who we think are the most at risk and separating them from society and protecting them from the spread of the virus. We can have some effect on the death rate a little bit in that respect. But the disease itself has a specific death rate, and we don't really know what it is. But what they want you to see is they want you to see the number of cases, and they want you to compare the number of deaths to the number of cases, and they come up with these percentages, and they're, you know, 3% or 4%, or some of them are, you know, 1%, but they're most likely much higher is what they're telling us is higher than what they actually are. And we get closer and closer to the true numbers as we do more and more testing, but we're never going to do enough testing to get to the true number. And that goes for any disease. That even goes for the flu. If people have mild flu symptoms and they go to the doctor treats their symptoms. I don't know that I've ever had an influenza test. Maybe once in my life, but I can't recall. But I'm sure I've had the flu more than once, which means I wasn't counted as somebody who caught the flu but didn't die in a particular year. So even diseases that we've dealt with for years and years and years, the numbers are pretty close, but they're not perfect. With this virus, we're not even close. We're not testing near enough people. Now, as the testing has ramped up, you've noticed that the death numbers, the percentage, the mortality rate, so to speak, has gone down and down as we've tested more. Because the more we test, the more we're going to find out there are people that have had the virus that have the virus that were not symptomatic or had such mild symptoms they weren't worried about it. But there's probably thousands and tens of thousands of people that will never get tested that have the virus. Now, when we get the antibody tests, we can test people to see if they've had the virus. And that can be helpful with treatment. It's helpful in having more accurate numbers. But the media gives you the worst, you know. Every day, you know, a new record of the amount of deaths in Italy, let's say. And then And then they, while they're doing that, they'll tell us, oh, China's gone 3 days without any new cases. Are you kidding me? First of all, you're believing the communist Chinese government, who incidentally caused all of this by covering it up for weeks, and then magically coronavirus just disappeared from China. It's gone. No more new cases. Well, first of all, that's really hard to believe, but let's say that's true. Let's say that they actually just completely shut off the spigot to new cases. You know how they did that? Because they're a totalitarian dictatorship communist country. They can lock people in their houses under threat of death. They can do all kinds of draconian things to stop the virus. And yeah, it's great for stopping the virus, but it's a little barbaric to your people to treat them in such a way. So one of two things: they're either lying, or they've taken such drastic measures that we would never undertake here. And I'm supposed to get mad because the president would like to free up the economy a little bit, because he knows that if we go into an actual depression, there's going to be a lot of death that has nothing to do with coronavirus. And there was a story this week that suggested that that was a lie, that he said that and that was a lie. Well, the story was a lie. You can look up the numbers. The government has all the numbers. You can see rates of suicide. You can see all different things that are affected by people who are depressed. You can see the rates of different things that happen during a recession and a depression. We have those numbers. And that news story that tried to say that he was lying was just baloney. It just... I don't have it all to present to you here, because this today's show, I'm kind of jumping around and just, you know, talking about the things that are on my mind about this. But it's just not true. We can do some real damage to the people of this country if we go into a depression. And you know, somewhere along, you know, where you see like 20% unemployment, that would be devastating to the people of this country. And to say otherwise is you're just lying to yourself. And so for the president to be weighing those things is perfectly legitimate. It's fine. It's not. But, you know, it's so funny, though. Again, you'll have the media, you have people on social media attacking the president. Oh, how dare you play with people's lives, you know, just to save the stock market. He doesn't care about the stock market. He cares about the guy down the street whose pizza parlor is closed because he's not getting enough business, enough takeout business to feed those, you know, to keep his business open. And so... It just doesn't make any sense. They get mad. Excuse me. They get mad on one hand that, you know, he's not doing enough. Then he's doing too much. Yet we know the communists probably are doing draconian things to their population. And they're celebrating that they don't have any more cases, which is really hard to believe again. But I'm going to take a second so I can calm down. And we're going to try and go to a caller again. I hope this works. Let's try it again here. Hello, caller, are you there? I cannot hear the caller. I've been told that the callers are hearing me, but that we're going to try one more thing here. Caller, are you there? No, that's not working either. Well, I apologize. I was really wanting to get to talk to the callers. We will try one more time. I'm going to take a break. I got another soundbite when we come back that kind of counters all of this celebrity craziness that's that's been going on. But I will take a break and see if I'll try one more thing, see if we can get callers. And I will be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The U.S. House on Friday approved a $2.2 trillion rescue package, sending it to President Trump, who then signed it. The measure tosses a life preserver to a U.S. economy and healthcare system left flailing by the coronavirus pandemic. America's coronavirus infections have surged to the most in the world. Italy has shut down its industry. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for the new coronavirus, but he remains in charge of the UK's response to the outbreak. President Trump has issued an order that seeks to force General Motors to produce ventilators for coronavirus patients under the Defense Production Act. Mr. Trump says negotiations with General Motors had been productive, but our fight against the virus is too urgent to allow the give and take of the contracting process to continue to run its normal course. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 915 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers, 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. President Trump is thanking the U.S. Senate for passing unanimously the $2.2 trillion coronavirus funding bill, which the U.S. House will take up today.
The largest financial relief package in American history. 96-0.
Once passed and signed by the president, the rescue package will, for 4 months, provide various means of federal support to bolster state unemployment benefits, a timely intervention with an unprecedented 3.3 million Americans applying for them due to workplace shutdowns to fight the coronavirus.
This shows the magnitude of the efforts to flatten the curve of the coronavirus, as we must, but this takes an economic toll.
Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick. Wall Street yesterday rallied into a third day with the S&P up 155, the Dow up 1352, and the NASDAQ up 413. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Prime Minister Trudeau, we need to work together to flatten the curve and fight off COVID-19. I think in times of crisis, I think we all know that it's the celebrities that we count on most. They're the ones who are going to get us through this. Right after healthcare workers, of course, first responders, people who work in essential services, ping pong players, mannequins, they're great. Childhood imaginary friends, sure, like 400 other types of people. Look, stay at home, practice social distancing, wash your hands. We are going to get through this thing. We're going to get through this thing together.
That was Ryan Reynolds on a video that he put out, I believe was on his Twitter account. And I've become one of his newest fans because that's the kind of common sense that we need. He was responding to a statement from the Prime Minister of Canada, and when putting out the statement, he tagged some celebrities, and so Ryan Reynolds thought that was, well, it's, he knows the celebrities have influence. It's not, you know, his point was, it's not the celebrities that are going to save us from this virus. So that was kind of interesting. Okay, we're gonna make one last try to go to a call. I think we've got the problems ironed out, so let's try one more time, and I'm okay with the embarrassment of screwing this up, so we're going to try again. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Jeff, can you hear me?
Hey, Pastor Gigline, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to ask you, who told you that this radio program was essential service?
Well, not the program itself, just the station. The putting out things on the air apparently is an essential service. No, nobody would accuse Rogue Talk of being essential.
Well, I think you've had a lot of good comments. My only maybe thing to add here is we're hearing from the governor of New York and other officials that the shutdown that we're seeing is essential for the preservation of life, and so we're looking at, and you in the last segment did a good job of kind of pointing out that potential loss of life, or at least a loss of people's livelihoods by shutting down the economy, essentially. And so we're kind of left weighing the cost benefit of that. If we're going to save, one life, then maybe that doesn't seem reasonable. If we're going to save, 10,000 lives, maybe. If we're going to save a million lives, well, then that's starting to sound reasonable. But I just find it interesting that those who are telling us that this is necessary to save lives are the same people who say that we can't cost the economy of one to save the life of one when it comes to the matter of abortion. So we're told that, if we say a woman who finds herself pregnant should make the sacrifices to bring that child to birth, we're said she shouldn't be put in that position, and that she should not be put out, and that life does not count. And it seems to be kind of a contradiction of logic, in my view.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and it. But we're used to that. We're used to the inconsistencies of these kind of people. The point you're making is actually a little higher on the scale of morals, but it's all politics to them. That's the problem. The politics of, like what I was talking about with the Chinese, they'll attack the president for not doing enough or doing too much, and really they don't care what he does. They just will attack him for whatever he's doing, and they'll put it in context of whatever, however they can mold it. And it's completely inconsistent. I don't know what you've seen as far as the numbers. I was reading an article that was actually a letter that was posted to LinkedIn by a Dr. David Katz. He's a disease prevention research scientist and the founding director of the Yale Griffin Prevention Research Center. So, he's got a little more credibility than I do. And he mentioned something about what we're talking about weighing, the costs of attacking the virus against the costs of destroying the economy. And I've got one quote here from him, and maybe you could respond to this. He says, many people in this country are financially marginal, living paycheck to paycheck, he writes. They are now subject to true destitution, desperation, ruin, food insecurity, hunger, and the fallout that addiction, domestic violence, suicide, all of those, I'm screwing the quote up here, but colleagues and I, looking at all that, don't know if the deaths from coronavirus will be less or more than the deaths resulting from societal collapse. Does anyone want to argue that death and misery resulting indirectly from the pandemic are less important than those resulting from it? And I would agree with that. And not to mention the numbers that are starting to come out. Just today, we've had updates that are where, people have put out, they've put out predictions, and now they're going, well, I was wrong by like magnitude, I was wrong by like 50 times. What is your thought about that?
Well, I think it's a great point. And I think that is a matter of kind of weighing the cost benefit of a decision like shutting down basically most businesses is, are there risks that exist that might warrant that kind of measure? I think that's possible. Is the current threat before us that risk? That's the question I think we need to ask. But I think also the thing that needs to be put out before the public, that it'd be great to hear the president say this, is that What saves lives is business saves lives. The government doesn't save lives. So if you like, you know, being able to go to the store and buy food to eat for your daily sustenance, that's there not because of the government, but that's there because of the businesses. Whether it be the trucker business, the farmers, or even the supermarket employees. So in order for us to live, we need not government, we need business to live.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's where people kind of get lost in all this, is they think the government has a role in this, but the government ultimately has no control over the virus. We can take steps to combat the virus. We can take steps to keep people from getting the virus. And we're seeing more and more that we're the models of some of the other countries that are doing better than, you know, one to the next. Like, for instance, the South Koreans did a pretty good job with this. And it's funny, you bring up the South Koreans. I was talking about this with my son the other night. One of the things that they got right and we completely muffed was, and on a couple of different levels, was the idea of using masks, not just for the people that have the virus, but using masks for people to protect them from the virus. So what happened was our media started to, they started to sell this thing as this pandemic long before it ever got named a pandemic. They were building it up and building it up. And then, well, all of a sudden people decided I better get myself some masks and some other things, you know. And in fact, all callers to this show get a sanitized roll of toilet paper, by
excellent.
The way.
So wonderful.
I knew you could probably use that. But with a small child at home, you probably don't get out to the store as much as you would like to. But
right.
But anyhow, so they. What was I? Where I lost my train of thought here.
Well, I think you were talking about how the media kind of creates the fear.
So they created the fear about the masks, and then people went out and stocked up on masks, and then there's a shortage, and so the hospitals are crying, and so the media is now, well, not now, but a couple weeks ago, they're saying, stop buying masks, stop buying masks. Well, you morons, the reason we bought masks was because you're freaking us out for weeks about this when there was very little spread so far. But then we come to find out later that what really helped the South Koreans was that they were wearing masks. And so now we're caught, you know, empty handed. We've got, I mean, I have a client of mine that is, her and her husband are both doctors, and she posted a letter on Facebook saying, we're running low on supplies and, you know, we could really use your help and don't hoard this stuff and whatever. And again, it's not just the media, it's also social media. What can we do to stop that kind of snowball effect where, I mean, look at, you still, a lot of stores, you still can't get toilet paper.
Well, I think as businesses, as you've been talking about, are facing probably some tough times for all the reasons that have been laid forth. The one business that is probably doing well is the media.
Yeah.
I would imagine their ratings are probably doubled at about these times.
Well, and that's what I was talking about with the way they react to everything Trump says. They make a soundbite, they put up a salacious headline, and it gets some clicks on their social media, and that's how they make money. That's how their advertisers see that they're relevant. And yeah, so I think you're right. They're using this to their advantage, and it's not helpful for the public. You know, it's got everybody freaked out. I've got all but one of my, I'm a family of five. Four of us are living under the same roof right now and don't need to be. And that brings up another thing is, you know, I read an article recently, and actually it might have been that same letter that I read from a little bit ago, where, you know, he said that sending these kids home from college may not have been the best idea. If they're not infected, it's fine, and it protects them if they're sheltering with their family. But what if they were already affected? You're sending them home to potentially give it to 2, 3, 4 more people. And then, of course, we know it spreads exponentially from there. So even something that they thought was a good thing to do, you know, maybe it wasn't. And then, but yet on the other side of it, you get Liberty University taking all kinds of grief because they're kind of a semi-open campus right now.
Yeah, I think that we're, as a society, going to have to figure out what we're going to do when these scares come up, because this won't be the last one. And we certainly can't afford to react this way for every single medical scare. And there's even some question about whether we'll be able to get rid of this particular coronavirus this year. In other words, it might dissipate over the summer, but it, you know, has a tendency to come back. The flu has a tendency to come back in the fall. So could we be still dealing with this in the fall? And those are things that we're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, well, we're about out of time, Pastor, but
thanks
for calling in, and I hope you guys were edified by that.
Yeah, stay safe.
You too. And that's going to do it for us. You know, keep your sense of humor. That's what I'm trying to do. Don't get offended by people that are making jokes and whatever. They're just trying to cope. But also, you know, if you hear something was said in a news conference, go watch the news conference. That's all we got. Everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.